There's an old saying, supposedly an ancient Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. Today, the curse has come true. The interesting times are here. What is interesting about the times in which we live is that for perhaps the first time in history, certainly for one of the few times in history, we are witnessing the more or less peaceful transfer of power from one civilization and from the people or race that created and bore that civilization to different races. In South Africa, the transfer has already been completed, at least in a formal political sense, with the apparent support of most of the white population. And the remainder of what was once the common imperium of the European peoples in Africa and Asia, the transfer has long since taken place, occurring when the imperial powers withdrew or were chased out of the territories they had conquered. In Europe, the transfer has probably not quite yet begun on any major scale, and it probably will not begin until the emigration of non-white peoples is considerably further along than it is now in most of those countries. But in North America, and more especially in the United States, the transfer is well underway. It is in our own nation that the times are most interesting and therefore most cursed. We see the transfer of power in almost every dimension of public and private life. Thus far, the transfer is more cultural than it is political or economic. It is clear in the rise of multiculturalism, Afrocentrism, and the other anti-white cults and movements in university curricula, and in the penetration of even daily private life by the anti-white ethic and behavior these cults impose. It is clear in the ever-quickening war against the traditional symbols of the old civilization and the elevation of the symbols of the new peoples who aim at their displacement. The Martin Luther King holiday of 1983 was the first and most important instance of the trend, but by no means the last. Indeed, it can be argued that the King holiday was merely the forerunner and, in fact, the legitimizing agent of the attacks on other symbols that have occurred since. Attacks on the display of the Confederate battle flag and on other Confederate and Southern white symbols are now well known. But the Alamo in San Antonio, as Jared mentioned last night, is another traditional white symbol that is also under attack by Hispanics. At the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, protesters have demanded the removal of the university's emblem, the Minuteman of the American War for Independence, as an offensive representation of a white male armed with a musket. And the school's chancellor supported their demands. The Custer Battlefield in Montana, one of the few monuments to a military defeat anywhere, has been changed to celebrate the Indian victory. Although what is historically memorable about the Battle of the Little Bighorn is not the victory of several thousand Indians over a small American cavalry detachment, but rather the defeat of the whites at the hands of the non-whites. The holidays, public anniversaries, flags, songs, statues, museums, symbols, and heroes that a people shares are fundamental to its identity and its existence as a people. And what we are witnessing on the official level of public culture in the attacks on these traditional symbols and their displacement by the symbols of other races is the effective abolition of one people and the gradual creation of another. Of course, this process of racial and cultural displacement is not limited to official culture, which is often merely the plaything of politicians. It is also true, even more clearly, on the level of popular culture, by which is meant today not the culture created by the people, but rather the culture created by elites for consumption by the people. Western movies now routinely define the whites as the villains, and the Indians and the Mexicans, or even more fantastically, the blacks, as the heroes, or the martyrs, as in Dances with Wolves and Geronimo. Almost all TV and cinematic depictions of the Civil War now unequivocally portray the South and the Confederates as the villains, perhaps at the best misguided, but nonetheless on the wrong side of history. It is routine also to display almost all criminals, rapists, murderers, robbers, as whites, though the statistical truth, of course, is that violent crime in the United States is largely the work of non-whites. Political scientist Robert Lichter, a few years ago, showed in a study of how television depicts reality that while during the last 30 years, whites were arrested for 40% of the murders committed in the United States, on television, whites committed 90% of the murders. Moreover, non-whites are frequently shown as not only heroic, but also as dominant over the whites. In the film Johnny Handsome, Mickey Rourke played a violent and physically deformed white criminal, seeking revenge on the other criminals who betrayed him, all of them also white, while the tough and competent police detective who arrested him and the brilliant surgeon who corrected his deformities were both blacks, an inversion of probable reality that was explicitly praised in the reviews of the film. In the Karate Kid film series, the villains are white toughs who pick on non-whites. The heroes are non-whites who defeat the whites with the superior fighting skills and ethical codes of the Orient. It is a staple feature of police movies that they portray blacks as the administrative superiors of the white protagonist, Mel Gibson's Lethal Weapon series being the best known, perhaps, the second installment of which claimed that white South Africans were masterminding drug smuggling in the United States. While the explicit racial hatred of whites expressed in black-directed films is well known, an increasingly common theme in mainstream television and film is that of the dangers represented by the hordes of violent and vicious white supremacists, skinheads, neo-Nazis, paleo-Nazis, and racist terrorists who lurk in every city, behind every storefront, in every small town, everywhere throughout the country, all the time.